Growing up, there was a question that I would often hear adults ask one another. And over the course of a number of years, I would learn its context unmistakably. The question I would learn had to do with a singular shared experience. And after hearing the question be processed by my parents and by their friends, by my grandmother, by my other relatives and other people, other adults, this singular question called into consciousness a shared experience and different stories. The question, where were you when? Now, ask to me or my brother or my sister, where were you when? We had to ask, when what? But for the adults in our house, it meant what occasion? Where were you when you heard the news of JFK's assassination? This called into consciousness stories about being at school and being called home, being at the grocery store and hearing something on the radio, or being in the street. Where were you when? It was a call to consciousness of shared experience and story. And then after 1986, there was another possible ending to that question. Where were you when you heard the news of the Challenger? And then, sadly enough, definitive for a younger generation, after 1995, where were you when had another option. I'm embarrassed to say it was the most frequent form of the question asked among me and my friends. Where were you when you heard the O.J. Simpson verdict? True. And then on September 11th, 2001, where were you when, once again referred to only a singular event in the world, a singular shared experience in which we all have our own stories and our own perspectives, loss, fear, anxiety. Where were you when the second tower came down? This past week, a week ago today, there was another news event that may, for a new generation, mark the question, where were you when? Most notably, the news events of the past week have opened wounds that have just begun to heal for many communities, particularly those like this one, and like the Madison community where I was living at the time, that were so close to the events in 2001. But the news events of this past week were somewhat different. Where were you when the second tower came down often brings into mind and recollection, I've heard so many stories of how people experienced unexpected community in the midst of disaster. Where were you when has inspired the sharing of so many stories of coming together in churches, buildings like this one. I know from hearing many stories that this very room was filled the night of September 11th in 2001, just as the church where I was serving in Madison was filled. Unexpected community, strangers sitting at one another's home, people hosting others who could not make it back to the city, sharing phone calls with loved ones that perhaps we hadn't spoken to in some time across the country, assuring one another of our safety and our love. Where were you when in 2001 helps us to recall that in many ways and in some ways, God's presence was unexpectedly felt in a deep sense of community as people came together despite their differences, despite their unknowingness about one another. The news events of this past week differed in that very way. There was no uniting factor. There was no sense of cohesive community. There was no sense of deep healing or satisfaction. The Gospel of Luke is the only gospel that tells the story that we read this morning. It was a story of two of Jesus' followers. We know they were not part of the 11, but they were Jesus' followers, and they too were sharing their stories of where were you when. They were leaving Jerusalem in a post-traumatic trip to a town called Emmaus, we know 7 miles outside of the holy city. And as they were walking on this road, they were sharing their own stories of trauma, and they were trying to process what happened, what that meant for them, and what it would mean for their people. In the midst of their journey, right smack dab in the middle of their trip, came a stranger, just as many of us befriended strangers in a difficult time. The stranger joined them on their journey and began to listen, began to ask them, what is it that you're sharing about and what are you talking about? In the listening, it turned to sharing. And we know that the stranger began to talk to them about their own faith, began to talk to them about the prophets that they knew in their scriptures, and said, do you not get it? The scripture says, oh, how foolish you are. But I think today Jesus would say, don't you get it? Don't you get that these things had to happen for the salvation that you're waiting for? It says that those who were journeying said how disappointed they were because they had hoped that this Jesus of Nazareth would be the one to save them. They had invested all of their hope and all of their future in him, and now hope was lost. Perhaps they were fleeing Jerusalem so that they would not get caught up in any conflict. And then we know that they came to the end of their journey. After 7 miles walk and deep conversation, they reached Emmaus, and those who were journeying said to the stranger, you've walked with us all this way. Why don't you come and join us for a meal? It's too dark to travel. The stranger came, took his place at the table, and then did something rather peculiar. It says that he took bread, he blessed it, and he broke it. The reason this is peculiar is because the taking of bread, particularly within a Jewish home, is the role of the host. This inviting to dinner was a very significant act of hospitality, of making a stranger, someone who is a foreigner, bringing them into a comfort zone, saying that they are no longer stranger, but they are now part of family, friends. But the stranger assumed the role of host and took the bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to those who were there, the two who he had traveled with. In that very moment of breaking of bread, their eyes were opened, and they realized that the Jesus that they had talked about the whole trip, all 7 miles, was with them each step of the way. And in that moment, when they recognized that Jesus had been there with them and had blessed the bread, he was no longer present for them to cling on to. They headed back to the city, and they told the good news. I have to tell you that there have been so many times in my life that I have wished that Jesus would be revealed to me and would break bread and would bless it and would give it to me. I have had so many moments in my life in which I have needed God to be revealed in personal form and answer some of my deepest questions and comfort some of my rawest wounds. The reality is that being Easter people is not simply believing in a story and celebrating a story once a year. Being Easter people does not mean simply that we believe that Jesus was a historic character that came, lived, died, and then went into heaven and disappeared. Being Christians and Easter people means that we believe that Christ is risen and is still alive and present with us in our lives today in the form of God's Spirit. This often doesn't happen to our disappointment in flashes or booms or even in brilliant revelations before us. God is present in our lives and even with us in this moment, but so often our eyes are unable to see. So often we are unable to fully comprehend what God is doing in our lives at that very moment. God is revealed to us too often, I say, in the mundane, in the common things of life. Today begins a four-part sermon series in which I will be preaching on revealed, how the living Christ is revealed to us in the common aspects and moments of our lives. And it begins with the moment of revelation of Jesus to the travelers to Emmaus in community. It was when they gathered in community, or as the Greek says, koinonia, that Jesus was revealed as present to them. Now the word koinonia, which you may have heard, and is adopted by many Christian groups, the Greek word koinonia means intimate participation with. And it occurs almost 20 times in the New Testament. And it is when the travelers and Jesus were in intimate participation and communion with one another that they were able to see that they were not alone and that God was active in their life. Now think back. Where were you when? Whether it's September 11th, or whether it's some of the most difficult moments of our lives, where were you when? Was God revealed to you? Were you surrounded in community? I remember of many personal experiences in which the church community surrounded me personally or my family and represented God's active presence. It is only when we come together and are vulnerable in intimate participation with one another that we can see God plainly, sometimes in the faces of one another. Again, not in a flash or in a boom. I'm reminded of stories that a friend in Washington, D.C. tells of the Clinton family and the Dole families attending the same United Methodist Church, Foundry United Methodist Church in Washington, D.C., during the 1996 presidential election in which they were in opposition. And I recall also a friend who serves in Summit, stories of former Governor Corzine and a political opponent coming and even pairing with one another in a communion line at the same church. Coming together in koinonia, Christian community, means that we are in intimate participation with one another despite all of the stuff that divides us, that separates us, and that makes us outside of these walls go into our separate lives. Jesus came as a stranger, was revealed in koinonia, in community, and was made real, and is made real to us. This morning, we are going to have an opportunity to come forward. This morning, we are going to share a common cup, a common loaf. It's something we may take for granted each month as we cycle in and out of church and our routines. Today, as we come forward, I invite you not simply to do the mundane, but to travel, to leave your comfort zone and to walk forward and take notice of those who are around you, those who may look different, those who may look similar, those who you know, and those whom you don't know. We are called together in intimate participation with something that is greater than us. And I am confident that people who believe in the risen Christ, it is here at this table that we encounter God revealed to us. May our eyes be open to see, and may we encounter the living Christ in our lives. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for your presence, for your grace that goes before us, always preparing the way, for your grace that comes behind us, always healing and forgiving and making the crooked way straight. God, this day, we pray that you will be revealed to us in your presence as we come to this table and as we join as your koinonia in communion with one another. God, we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.